You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is ESPN Radio's Bart and Han Podcast.
Hour number three. Bart and Han, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. When it's hour number three, that's when Bart is like on his toes right now. He's like a defensive lineman, and he's just waiting to pounce, trying to stay on sides. Because hour number three means only one thing, Bart Scott.
The caller hour. Oh, I'm sorry. The power hour. I don't know. I just feel like we should really just. Let's see what the people got to say. We've been talking
so
much.
Yeah, I really feel like this is the time to get to some calls. Yeah, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number about the taunting, emphasis on taunting, which we saw last night at the absolute worst time. And I'm asking this question. Are you one of these people that were like, you know what the NFL needs to do? They need to curb taunting. It's a really bad thing. Like, they need to throw a flag when a guy's celebrating a sack. It really needs to happen. Please tell me if you're one of those people, or if you're like, I never asked for this. I don't want this. And what I saw last night, I don't want that. Hey, NFL, stop doing it. I don't want it. We want to hear from you. Also,
talk about the tag team matchup that they have for a pay-per-view, the Morris Twins versus the Jokic's. Ooh. With like the Killer. Remember when the Killer Bees just had one and they invite one? Jimmy Butler would be like the add-on to make it 3-on-3.
Like Nikola Jokic's brother, you've seen them? Yeah, you ever see that?
It's like I haven't, but they I can
look,
only
you know
imagine.
How you do the power hour thing? They do look like the two guys, you know, Hans and Franz. We're here to pump.
Yeah.
You are. They are big dudes.
You know who one of my friends was, like, growing up? He used to sing for me all the time. It was Nikolai Volkov.
No way.
Yeah. So, like, he used to live in White Marsh, and, like, we used to mess around because he knew I loved wrestling. So
he and the
sing.
Iron Sheik yeah, just so, all so, about that so he would sing, Cold War stuff from the 80s.
Yeah, so he would sing like the Soviet Union like national anthem.
Yeah.
It'd be the funniest thing ever, man, because I used to hate him growing up, but it was funny that he was like lived in Baltimore with me.
Crazy. All right, but in the meantime,
Bye-bye.
I want to get your take on something because – and we'll get to the calls in a moment as we got them all racked up. So – the Jets play this week against the Bills.
Yep.
They still have yet to make a decision about who their starting quarterback is going to be.
Yep.
It sounds like tomorrow is the day that they will have to decide that because obviously that's when the game plan goes in, right? It doesn't mean they're going to announce it, of course, but they'll know tomorrow.
Yeah.
So before I play you what Robert Sala said on the Michael Kay mm-hmm. show in New York City on 98.7 ESPN, I want to ask you if – you are in position to make this decision. You know the Jets better than anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You're around that team all the time. You do pre and post for SNY on Jet games, and you played for the Jets. Your key code still works.
I was over there this morning. I did a show over there this
there
morning.
There you go. All right, so no one knows better than you this stuff. If Zach Wilson is physically available to play, ready to play, which I believe he's supposed to practice this week,
yeah.
Do you go with Mike White or do you go with Zach Wilson? And why?
It hasn't been announced yet, but I think it's Mike White. Like, we talked about it this morning. Mike White should be the guy. Like, he did nothing to forfeit his ability to continue to lead this team. He hasn't had a bad drive yet, let alone a bad game. And he's earned that right. He's come in. He stayed ready. And when you allow Mike White to play, you tell everybody else on that team and you send a subliminal message that if you play well and you continue to play well, you won't lose your job. Like, and listen – Zach Wilson, it's his job to earn back. Listen, Zach Wilson's going to be there for 5 years.
Right.
Who cares? Like, this would be a speck in his eye, right? This would be like such a small part of his memory. You know, the fact that he had to sit a little bit and watch and learn. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't know how healthy that knee is. Why would you want to put this guy out there and for him to struggle and then only he's going to make the fan base, you know, like boo him more because, you know, the most popular person on every team is always the backup quarterback. And Mike White has not only been the most popular guy, but when he went in, he played at a high level, and his offense looked totally different. So listen, Mike White's 25 years old, so we're not saying that this is apples to apples, right? I understand that, you know, he's still a young player, and he's a rookie. Nobody's ever seen him play, but he's still, you know, probably 3-4 years older than Zach Wilson. So Zach Wilson time will come, But right now, 5 years, sitting on the bench, maybe watching, getting a better perspective of how to manage the game and how the offense looks when you get the ball out of your hand on time and not play hero ball and try and throw home runs or hit home runs all the time. It's good. It'll serve him well.
Interesting. Robert Saleh was on, as I mentioned, the Michael Kay Show, asked when he will come up with this decision.
Well, see, I'll have an answer on Wednesday. I promised Connor Hughes that I would have that information on Wednesday once they clear medical and all that stuff. And, you know, so we at least know that everyone's going to be able to practice. But Mike White's still got to clear a couple things, and so does Zach.
So there's that part of it where you know that both will be available this week. We'll know something tomorrow. But the next question that the guys asked on the Michael Kay Show is simply this. Now, Robert Saleh does a weekly with them on 98.7 ESPN. And the Jets head coach was asked, okay, if Mike White's the guy, how long does he stay the guy?
Let's say that Mike White starts on Sunday. Does he have a chance to keep this job if he plays well?
Well, it depends. You never know day to day, brother. Shoot, if he what do you think? I'll ask you, if he throws for 400, what do you think?
I think you got to start him the next week. But I mean, Zach Wilson's your quarterback of the future, right? No matter how great Mike White is. That's what I think.
No, I hear you, brother. But you know, I'll say this: if Mike White ends up having to be the starter and he plays his butt off, it'll be a great problem to have.
It is a great problem to have, but it does kind of create this curiosity of, okay, well, Zach Wilson was drafted number two. And the idea is to get him as much experience and reps this season as possible. But if Mike White is producing and performing, then you've got to give him the football. And that kind of stunts the growth a little bit of Zach Wilson. But what's better for the franchise?
I mean, listen, how does it stunt the growth when it allows him to be hungry? It makes it maybe humbles him a little bit because everything was given to him. Now he understands that if he messes up, you got a ready guy behind you that's young, prime, to compete. So you can't go out there and take for granted that it's just your job to have. We talked about, why wouldn't you bring us somebody in here that can kind of show him how to be a professional? Well, who knew there was going to be somebody his age that can treat him how to be a professional? I mean, all the time we watch RG3 and Kirk Cousins, you know, and the cream usually eventually rises to the top. You had a big concern about Zach Wilson, his ability to stay healthy. You know, nobody cares how you get to the root to finding yourself a franchise quarterback, whether you draft him in the first round, or you find him in the fourth round like the Dallas Cowboys, or if you find him in the third round like Russell Wilson. It don't matter how you find him. The important part is that you find him. And now really what Mike White and what Josh Johnson has allowed you to do is to evaluate how good the rest of your team is, because we thought this offensive line was horrible. Mm-hmm. Like, we thought they were horrible. Turns out, you know, the message came from the wrong person in Van Rotten, a.k.a. Van Roten. You know what I mean? It came from the wrong person about, hey, he got to get the ball out. Hey, he's holding on to the ball. But, I mean, the other quarterbacks have proven to you that, hey, maybe these guys aren't as bad as you think. And if you add a guy like Duvernay in there, and now you got a strong left side, and now you start to get a strong right side, because I like what Morgan Moses has done. I love Fant and how he's filled in for Mekhi Becton. So now Bear Tucker's been as advertised. I mean, he's one of the highest-rated guards in the game. Now all they got to do is go out and draft or find in free agency the best center in the game. And now you talk about offensive line. If Becton lives up to expectations, Vera Tucker lives up to expectations, which he's already doing in a short period of time. Morgan Moses is one of the best right tackles in the game. And if Duvernay, who started, you know, in the Super Bowl for Patrick Mahomes, if he turns out, then you're looking at that offensive line or something close to that offensive line that the Jets had in the glory days. And the mission of what Joe Douglas said about building a dominant offensive line and being able to protect whoever's behind center, he's starting to fulfill that prophecy.
I'll tell you what, the struggles of Sam Darnold, though I'm not rooting against Sam Darnold, rooting for him to struggle, but him struggling with the Panthers has, I believe, taken some of the pressure off the need to, you know, the urgency for Zach Wilson to be good as soon as possible. It's almost bought me some patience. And in the meantime, if Mike White is performing well, I'm okay with it, just to see, well, maybe you've got now a quarterback that you either do you feel like he's your quarterback of the future, and then you figure out something to do with Zach Wilson. It's always good to have two. That if you have two, you have options.
Everybody's
nothing
hurt.
Wrong with that.
Every quarback gets hurt. Dak Prescott got hurt. Had to go to the backup.
Like, do you
Russell
feel
Wilson
how about
got
this?
Hurt.
Do you feel like, from what you've seen, that Mike White could ever be, his potential would be better than what Zach Wilson's potential is?
I mean, it's hard to be said, man. But like, because some
that's
guys,
not a no. The fact that you didn't even say no.
It's hard
amazing.
To say, it's hard to say, right? Because we've seen, like, usually what's built lasts longer than what's born. And maybe Zach Wilson was born to be a great with all the great attributes, but the best quarterback in our game doesn't have any definitive characteristics that you would say, man, he should be the elite.
Other than his competitive drive.
Right, my point. Elite. Well, that's something that you can't measure.
Yes.
Right? That's something that you don't see in a height weight chart, yep, in a 40, in an agility test. You don't see that. You don't see that greatness. And is Mike White that person? I don't know. But nobody saw Russell Wilson coming. Mm-hmm. Nobody saw Dak Prescott coming. Yep. So for every Aaron Rodgers, for every Peyton Manning, for every Cam Newton, it's always that other guy.
The fourth round pick, the sixth round pick, the fifth round pick.
Right, that come up a different way. Like you can go, like right now, anybody can go online and they can Google Hall of Fame. And I guarantee you, it's going to be just as many guys from the third and fourth round and undrafted. Whether you want to talk about Jerry Rice, who went to a D1AA, Walter Payton, you want to talk about, you want to talk about Michael Strahan. Listen, we can get your whole list of dudes that came from small colleges. Let alone Terrell Owens.
Well, Mike White came from Western Kentucky.
Yeah, greatness comes from all shapes and sizes.
Yeah, okay.
Right? And all schools, all rounds. Right? So that's what we love about football. That, like, listen, your beginning resume doesn't matter. It's not the first contract that validates you. It's the second one. Because that means that, you know, they agree that you weren't a mistake. Or they agree that they made a mistake. The first one that comes in, everybody can try and feel like they got it figured out from college. But if they give you a second contract, mm-hmm, that second contract is big. I don't care if you are going from a free agent to being the highest paid player in that position, or if you're going from a number one overall pick to being the highest paid player in the position. That's the validation right there.
Yeah.
It's the second one. Anybody can get the first one. Anybody can fool somebody.
Well, it's a matter now for the Jets of seeing what they've got at the quarterback position. The good news is, though, that they have some options now to watch, and you don't have to rush Zach Wilson back if you feel like he's not ready, because when the season started, the feeling was he did not look like he was ready. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Man, we've got a lot of reaction to the taunting, to the emphasis on taunting in the NFL, and a play last night that really changed Monday Night Football. Late in the game, a taunting call against
Jokic. You're talking about Marsh.
Yes, Cassius Marsh. That's right. I had Jokic on the mind as well. That at a third down, series is going
to
be over, and instead the Steelers kept the ball, kick a field goal, make it a 6-point game. Now Justin Fields did a nice job. A really good drive for him. They scored 21 points in that fourth quarter. Brought them down. They take a 1-point lead on a touchdown drive, but it left enough time for Ben Roethlisberger to lead a game-winning drive.
Put some respect on his name.
Is that
the 50th of his career? Put some respect on old Ben's name.
No doubt about it. And so the Steelers do get the win, but if they don't get that field goal to make it a 6-point game, how much different is the game? All right, let's get some reaction to this, and let's go now to, let's see. A lot of people want to talk about this. We'll go to Scott in Nevada first. Scott.
Hey, yeah. Okay, so if they got to have the taunting rule, all right, which is stupid. I mean, if it's because that had no bearing on the game whatsoever, why does it have to be a 15-yard penalty? Make it a 5-yard penalty. They still would have had to punt, and it wouldn't have affected the game very much at all.
That's a fair point on the five. If maybe it's just too much, or maybe you base it on the excessiveness of the taunting. Thanks, Scott. Boy, he sounded a lot like Rex Ryan, didn't he? Did he sound just like Rex Ryan?
A little bit too much twang. A little bit too much.
That's, yeah, but the whole, the cadence,
yeah,
everything
the cane,
about,
yeah,
it was very much Rex Ryan.
I listened to
a lot of Organized, yeah, Chaos, the podcast you do with him, so I needed him,
if you want to get that, I need to see him excited, because Rex is always talking excited.
I felt like he sounded just like Rex, but he made a good point as well. Maybe it doesn't have to be a 15-yard penalty. Let's take Fran in Massapequa on Long Island. Fran?
What's up, boys?
How we doing?
How you doing?
All right.
I love listening to you guys, man. You're the perfect mix.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Like my mama's banana pudding.
Yeah, that's it, baby. That's it. Listen, I'm a diehard Bears fan. There's no doubt it was a horrible penalty. The bottom line is this. The only taunting that's disrespectful is when the guy makes a nice hit or somebody tackles somebody hard and they stand over him.
Yes.
That's the only taunting penalty I don't like.
Yeah,
Everything else is just talking smack, which everybody can handle.
Yeah, I agree with you there, friend. That's it. If you are like face mask or standing over someone, or he's trying to get up and you're not letting him get up, that's a different thing. But just yelling and screaming to, like, just because it's in the direction, Like, come on, man. Like, get over that. Oh, thank God. You, Fran. Appreciate you, man.
Dixie
thanks for
the. Stones may break my bones, and worse, you never heard them. I hate these old participants. Like, that's what happens, man. We got a bunch of, like, scrubs, people that ain't never played the game before, trying to tell us how to.
Remember, a lot of this reaction isn't about that. It's about the that they believe the people don't want to see this. The networks don't want to see this.
Sure they don't.
And I'm saying.
Sure they don't.
People love competition. Why is Jake Paul, all these guys that want to fight now and celebrities fighting, why do people want to watch this stuff?
Because we
like confrontation.
Conor McGregor, right? Floyd Mayweather. Everybody wants to see that guy that's either, like, because people love to see, like, the blood and guts, right? This is a physical game. This is, like, built, like, from, like, the gladiator days. Like, it's one of the very, this is, like, the closest thing we can get to a contact sport, a combat sport.
I don't want to see Myles Garrett rip off a quarterback's helmet and hit him over the head with it. I don't want to see that.
Yeah, of course.
But that's obvious, right?
But you want to see I want to see somebody crawling off the field because they got hit so hard that they can't breathe. That's entertaining to me, right? We want to see guys. That's why we see people posting stuff of Frankie Edgar's getting kicked in his
face. Why is UFC so popular?
My point.
Because you make a guy submit.
Yes. Like, it's football at its core is about breaking somebody's will.
Yeah.
Like, it's about making somebody say, you know what? I think I need to do something else. Right? Let me tell you something. Football has made more basketball players than any other sport in the world. Let that sink in.
I know what you're trying to say there. 888-SAY-ESPN.
It's built for different people.
888-729.
Let us be different.
3776. Let's go to Chance in Arkansas. Chance.
I didn't watch the game last night. I'm not real big on the taunting BS that they're calling. I played football when I was a quarterback, and I remember letting go of the ball 2-3 seconds later, getting drilled, and the quarterback says, get up, or the referee says, get up. So I looked it up. I'm driving right now back from Little Rock, and I looked it up online to see. My biggest deal with it is he throws the penalty after the guy travels 7 yards. I mean, we get a pass interference call. We don't let everybody get up and decide what happens and throw a penalty 8 seconds later. Like, why was the flag so late?
Because he watched him.
Yeah.
Because he watched him. He was waiting for him to do it. He was waiting for him to do it. He saw his first celebration to kick, and then he kept his eye on him to see if he was going to take it too far. Why? Why? Why are you watching him at that point?
Why can't I look at him? This team cut me. Damn right I'm looking at you. Look what I just did. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, y'all didn't believe in me? Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mike T. Yeah.
There you go.
I wanted to play for you.
Again, is this what you want? Do you feel like the NFL, like that taunting was a problem in the NFL? Because they normally make rules based on they're afraid of losing customers from what they're seeing. Did you? Aside from, I go back to, Josh Norman and Odell.
Yeah, Odell Beckham. That was
that
crazy.
Got ugly.
Yeah, that was crazy.
But we all are aware.
We know when we see
that
it.
That was out of control.
This dude doing a Russo karate kick, like something that he's always done. Who knows? Maybe he had a black belt or something like that. Who knows? You know, maybe he wanted to be Bruce Lee when he was a kid. So what? He did that. And then he walked. And he didn't leave, like, the crown of the field. He didn't leave the 50-yard line. He didn't even go to the hashes.
But yet we invite the entire defense to run down to the end zone
for a meaningless fumble recovery.
And everybody pose for the camera. That's cool. You're facing the crowd.
And here I is.
You can taunt the crowd. You just can't.
And I just made a sack during the biggest moment of one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. And I was on the practice squad last week.
And that team cut me, and now we're trying to beat them.
And
I made
a
big play that could have helped my team win. One more. Forrest, upstate New York. Forrest.
Hey, it's funny that you said that because that's exactly what I was going to call about. Like, it's okay for offensive units to cheer and, you know, 11-unit people celebrate in the end zone. Defenses can run the ball back and do exactly what you said on interceptions and fumbles and celebrate, but the individual is taken out of the game. We already don't see the faces. We already don't know the names for the most part other than the star players. So when someone like this makes a play, what's the big deal?
Yeah, I'm glad you said it.
I'm going to say Giants are going to win the NFC East.
What?
And Bart can't wait. I'll hang up and listen.
Giants are gonna.
Hey, listen. I want to continue working here, man. Stay off the drugs.
Hey, he's a fan. Let him be a fan.
The Giants are great.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776.
Back to Green Bay.
We'll continue with your calls on this. Also, what you saw last night in the NBA, Jokic, Morris, You want more of that back in the NBA too? Not necessarily saying that we should start seeing punches thrown and forearms thrown. I'm just talking about they took out some of these weak fouls that were called. The game's getting physical again. Are you for this? I don't like the league took a bit of a hit about how guys are load management and flopping. It sort of created this reputation of NBA players as being soft. I know there's a lot of NBA players that are not soft. I kind of feel like the game needs to get back to being a little tougher. I'm okay with it. Are you? And the taunting as well. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Also coming up, through 11 games, the Knicks have had some statement wins. And then they've had some really, they've looked really good and really bad. Are they somewhere in between? What are the Knicks? We will discuss after Bart tells us about.
I'm telling you about.
Vivid Seats.
Okay, I can find Vivid Seats.
You can find it? Are you sure?
I'm positive.
Well, you know there's a safe return of live events, and you can actually be there to catch all the action in person, and you can do it with Vivid Seats, Bart.
You can do it with Vivid Seats. That's right. From every alley-hoop, slam, every one-timer, and every sideline grab can be experienced live. And with Vivid Seats Rewards, you can earn rewards like free tickets. All you have to do is collect the stamps, redeem, and repeat. It's simply that easy, Alan. From upper level to courtside, Vivid Seats has you covered for all the events that matter to you. So grab your tickets today and cheer on your favorite team from the stands. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Life happens live. We're doing it live! Back after this.
ESPN Radio, celebrating America's heroes on Veterans Day.
Hi, I'm Michael Davis, quarterback for the LA Chargers, and I want to thank you veterans for your service on the field and for being brave for us. Thanks again.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Bart and Hahn.
Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We're brought to you by Goodyear, making the plays that move you forward. Goodyear, more driven. Just a quick update here as Aaron Rodgers does his weekly appearance on Tuesdays on Pat McAfee's show on Sirius XM. And he did kind of walk back a little bit, although I'll just read you what he said and we'll go from there. So he said, I acknowledge I made some comments. This is from, remember, his appearance on Friday, which got everybody all fired up. He said, I made some comments that people might have felt were misleading. Mm-hmm. To anybody who felt misled by those comments, I take full responsibility. He adds that I understand this issue in general is very charging to a lot of people because we're talking about public health. I respect everybody's opinion. So I'm sure we'll get more on this and dive deeper in it tomorrow once it's all completed. But for now, he's at least kind of walking back a little bit of his aggressive or passive-aggressive nature from Friday. That, like I said, he had everybody mad.
Timelines are important, right?
Yeah.
So he understands that tomorrow, when he comes back, he's going to be open to have to be accessible to the media. So this is his way of issuing his apology without having to do it to them because it's follow-ups. So he can always say, like, hey, I had a statement yesterday. I said what I said, and I'm not going to address it. I want to move forward, going forward.
Man,
so
McAfee has really benefited from this relationship. Huh?
I wonder if he – Aaron Rodgers has to have some type of, like, money that's being paid to him as a weekly. Like, you know, like we have weeklies with like the what we used to have weeklies, mm-hmm. like with local quarterbacks, stuff like that, and how we have Salah on every week. Mm-hmm. So see, he has to be contractually obligated because this was the one week where you probably didn't want to go on. You kind of wanted to lay in the weeds.
Well, he went on but Friday. He's not scheduled to go on Friday.
Yeah, so he was able. That's because he's able to get his messaging. It's almost like his one platform that he can use where he's going to have a soft landing and no criticism coming back from the other end.
Yep.
You know, so like he's done that. Understanding everything he does is about
athletes being are doing
strategic.
This now, man.
Right,
but especially the high end athletes are doing this where they have their own media now.
The athletic, they can go on one of those things.
Don't have to challenge me with questions. Yep. You can just I can say what I want to say without being challenged. But again, the platform's there. Hey, look, we want to hear from these guys. We do, and then we can't complain when they speak. So he spoke, and I'm sure there'll be more of it. Meanwhile, 888-ESPN 888-729-3776. Meanwhile, Bart. So the Sixers last night, speaking of COVID, they continue to be decimated. Now they lose Embiid, who wasn't supposed to play last night, but now he's out for a while. They were number one in the East going into this game at 8-2 and had won six in a row. But Embiid now being out because of COVID, they already are without Tobias Harris. And Doc Rivers said last night that Embiid was not doing well. So he did have symptoms. And a couple other players also not available. So the Knicks come in off a frustrating loss to the Cavs on Sunday at the Garden. And they did what they were supposed to do, although it was a little dicey at times. Early on, they went up by 19. Then they held on to get themselves the win in Philadelphia. The Knicks now have wins over the Sixers. They have two wins over the Sixers. They've beaten the Bucks in Milwaukee. They beat the Celtics. The Celtics have been in the struggle this year as well. But the Knicks are a weird team. But the whole conference is – we asked Jay Will, who was on with us earlier in the show, you know, is the East tougher than the West? And I think it is. Because aside from the Pistons, no offense, they're young. They're just not going to be very, very competitive. The Magic try to be competitive for the most part. They've actually eked out a couple of wins. But for the most part, they're not at that level. Yeah, they're not at that level yet.
Toronto is like tough. The floor.
But when you look at the Knicks have shown you high highs and low lows. And I'm trying to figure out what are they? And I think they're just like a lot of other teams in the East right now. They're trying to find themselves. The Hawks are under 500. The Celtics are trying to find themselves. They're a mess. Teams that you thought would be dominating the East right now aren't. The Nets are just starting to find themselves, and they don't really have Kyrie yet. The Bucks have had injuries. They are still trying to find themselves. The East is in a funny place, but I think the Knicks are right where a lot of these teams are. They don't have an identity yet because they added some new pieces. But I see them as a team that when they get it right, they're going to be a good team. In fact, they should be at full potential within the top six in the East. They shouldn't have to play in the 7-10.
Yeah, well, they're going to have to get their rotations together, right? And they're going to have to, you know, you only do that by getting experience. And now Noel coming back from injury, you got to figure out
how he got banged up again last night.
Yeah, yeah.
Seems like a nightly thing, yeah.
Yeah, you hope he can stay healthy. But the good thing is you have a healthy Mitchell Robinson. So that's
well, he was out last night because he had a hip issue. And we'll see if he's even available for tomorrow night. So, yeah, that's what I mean. Like, as you finally get healthy, then now you get into the season, injuries happen, you got to adjust. But right. Kemba Walker and Evan Fournier, I don't think they've found where they fit yet. Julius Randle lately is back to playing like the superstar he was. Yeah. R.J. Barrett had a great stretch, and it looked like in his third year he was ready to take a step as an all-star. But now he's had a couple of games, although he got to 15 last night, 6-20. He's now going through it again. There's so much inconsistency. Like you want to say when people ask me, hey, how good are the Knicks this year? I don't know. Because there are times I watch them and they look great. Then there's times I watch them and they look terrible.
It's a lot of teams like that. You would think that the Knicks would be more like the Miami Heat because they have a lot of the same pieces.
They just got their ass kicked in Denver last night.
Yeah, but you talk about that's a team that's been together that's only trying to work in, you know, Kyle Lowry.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Who fits their DNA.
Yeah, but for the most part, you know, they kind of know their identity. They know what they want to do. Now, here with the Knicks, you're trying to figure out, okay, Kemba, this is what we have to do. How do we cover up for him and his lack of defense? Fournier the same way. And how quickly do we have Derrick Rose in the rotation to get in? And so it's like about how do you figure out like the time? And you only get that by being in experiences, right? You got to get these guys
to get through the fight.
Yeah, you got to figure out, okay, listen, this is how we want to close this situation out. You only do that by being put into situations. So, like, I think, you know, a lot of these teams, whether you're talking about the Lakers, whether you're talking about the Bulls, it's a work in progress, right? They're going to have to figure out how they go through some things together. And to do that, it's not going to always be pretty. You're going to have games where, like, you're just off because you guys aren't fitting well and you're not playing freely, right?
Yeah.
You're thinking about it, right? It's not. It's almost like putting in a new offense in the NFL and then wondering why offenses are struggling. Then they start to figure it out late in the season as you figure out how people fit this year. You can't take last year's roles and just automatically slap the scarlet letter on people because people evolve, people get better, and people get worse.
Yeah, and I'll say this. I'd rather be figuring it out and winning more games than I'm losing than figuring it out and you're losing games and maybe losing ground.
So it
could be winning ugly, but it's better than losing.
Still have teachable tape.
And so you have that. And then on top of it, of course, again, Julius Randle off last year being all NBA, all-star, you know, most improved player. And it was that question of, can he do it again? Was this flash in the pan? Was this because, you know, the league was a little off last year that they take advantage of, you know, the shorter season, no fans, all that stuff? Is this really what Julius Randle, you can expect from Randle year after year? And you know what? The last couple of nights, you know, in Milwaukee, when they're down 20, he gave you that enough's enough. Went superstar mode and ended up helping them win the game. I mean, he outplayed Giannis in this game. He was fantastic. Now, wasn't as good against the Cavs at home, and the home thing's a problem for this team, man. They're 2-3 at home. Makes no sense. 5-1 on the road. They got to get better at home. But Randle last night, sort of the same thing kicked in. Fourth quarter, game got too tight, and he shut the door. Came in, and he closed the deal. That's what you want your stars to do. Here's Tom Thibodeau on what he thinks of Julius Randle's game last night.
He was a monster all the way around. I thought the way the game started, the energy that he was playing with, he set the tone defensively. He and Nerlens were all over the place. Our guards were into the ball. The way Julius closed the game was one big shot after the next. And he did it in a variety of ways. It was the three, attacking the board. And when he plays like that, it makes us a different team.
And when he's aggressive like that, yes, both ends of the floor, most important. The Knicks, they play the Bucks tomorrow night. Now, see if they can beat them again in less than a week's time as they still aren't at 100%. So the question is this, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. For those who follow the NBA, what are the Knicks? What are they right now? They're 7-4. They have one of the better records in the East, but they have one ugly. What are they right now? Also coming up, here's your question, Bart. As Odell Beckham Jr. will clear waivers at 4 and have a choice to go wherever he wants, should the Giants be in on Odell? Yes, bringing him back to New York. There is a case to be made, and someone made it. You've got to hear it, and you'll hear it next. Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Bart and Hahn.
All right, Bart, let's get into this. Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio. And by the way, you can tune into ESPN's daily podcast, bring you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters, presented by Supercuts. Download, subscribe, and review ESPN Daily, available wherever you enjoy your podcasts. So, Don LaGreca of the Michael Kay Show. As we wait for Odell Beckham Jr. to clear waivers and then choose where he is going to play, just curious to see where he goes. He's leaving Cleveland, and this is a guy who's a talent. He could help an offense. There was some talk about Seattle. There's a report that the Packers are actually the lead candidate or the top dog, the top priority from Odell's camp. But Don LaGreca had a suggestion that I want to get your take on, because while it's interesting, I don't agree with it.
They continue to not be able to put up 30 points. There wasn't a lot going on there as far as really getting the ball downfield at all. And you just wonder, at 3-6, still mathematically alive, still trying to learn about your quarterback. in a very small window here to determine whether you're going to give him that fifth-year option. When you consider the wide receivers have not been able to stay on the field at the same time, do you tip your toe in to the Odell Beckham sweepstakes? I think I do. And I know he's a headache. I was glad to see him go when they traded him to Cleveland. But for really no risk at all, just for the second half of this year, you would assume he'd be on his best behavior. You'd assume that he'd want to show everybody that he's not the problem. He loved playing here. He was heartbroken when he was traded from here. I don't know if he'd come.
I love it.
If I'm trying to win games and learn about my quarterback, why would I not give it a try? And the second he's out of line, I just cut him.
Why on earth would Odell Beckham Jr. want to come with that? All that being explained. First of all, they didn't want you. Second of all, the whole notion of if he acts up, we can just cut him. Well, why am I even bothering going there? What do you mean if I act up? Third of all, you're 3-6. What the hell do I want to go there for? Right? Yes, he loved New York, but not everything that came with it. He would come here and the circus would be back, and that's the last thing he should want. Zero chance this happens. The Giants might say, yeah, we'll give it a shot. We've got all these injuries at wide receiver. But if you're Odell, you're looking at them going, you had me. You lost me.
It's not even a discussion. Like he wouldn't even consider coming back here. There's no way. You heard what he said. If you come back here, he'll be a malcontent. He wouldn't even be around here. He'll be such a distraction. He wouldn't even show up.
But the media wouldn't give him a chance to not be a distraction because they'd make him a distraction because it's Odell.
Bro, they don't even have a salary cap space to absorb it. They would have to go ask somebody to take a pay cut to even be able to sign him. They only have an estimated $1.5 million of cap space. You got to have at least seven to be able to absorb the contract. And, like, Odell at this point is trying to play for a contender. You heard Chris Canty on the show the other day. Mm-hmm. Like, it's no chance. With what they got coming up, it's no chance. Right? Listen, this is your bed that the Giants made. They got to lay in it. Right? They went out and they got guys that they thought was going to be Stephon Diggs. He hasn't been available. He hasn't lived up to expectations. Slayton has lived up to expectations. Shepard's been in and out of the lineup. You got to own that. That falls right square and short. That would sound like a desperation move. And Odell Beckham, why would I want to come back?
Well, that's the thing.
It's the same general manager that traded me.
That's my point. I didn't sign him to trade him, and then you traded him.
Right.
Right? There's that.
And sent me to Cleveland for my career to die, because at that point,
that's literally what they thought they were doing there.
Exactly, and it really did. I mean, even though the team may be better, what has the team done but go to the playoffs and win one game and spend all that money, have all these players?
And he had nothing to do with it.
Right, and it's the intention, too. The intention was Gettleman was sending them. They're like, oh, you want to be traded? You want to get out of here? I'm going to send you to Cleveland.
Yeah.
That was a punishment. And I'm going to come back and smile in the same person's face that traded me? Nah, it's not even close.
Look, again, and what Donnie's explaining, the idea I understand.
I know.
But the reality of it, it's the furthest thing from reality. Right. You know, the reality is that the last place he should go – no, I'm sorry. The last place he should go is New England. Because you talk about another place, they'll never give him a chance there. His reputation – Bart, as much as you want to say it's not fair, his reputation will precede him in certain markets. And New England and New York are two places where his reputation will precede him. Even though he's done nothing over the last how long, how much time.
But the market and the team is separate, right? Because you talk about Bill Belichick. He took Corey Dillon. He took Randy Moss.
Bart, it has nothing to do with Bill. It has to do with everything outside of that organization. They will never give him a chance in New England like they never gave Cam a chance. They never gave Cam Newton a chance.
They gave Randy Moss a chance coming from Oakland after he was considered washed up, after he had that wipe my butt on the all that stuff.
I'm
like, nobody came with as much baggage as Randy Moss coming in. Like, listen, right now, Patriot fans post Tom Brady will accept whatever they have to accept if they think that they can get in the playoffs after what it's looked like so far. It looks like they didn't have an appointment with the playoffs for the second year in a row. And if he can help them get in the playoffs, listen, they will make a deal with the devil.
If you could have Russell Wilson throw you touchdowns, Matt Stafford throw you touchdowns, Aaron Rodgers throw you touchdowns, or Mac Jones throw you touchdowns, where you going?
He don't control that, though. That's the whole thing. They got less than an hour to claim him if they decide to. They can claim him, and he has no choice in the matter.
Well,
that's the reality.
Yeah, I don't know, man. But I'll tell you what, wherever he ends up, it should not be New York. It should not be New England. Wherever he ends up should be what's best for him to prove that he could still be a great number one target wide receiver in the NFL, which is what it looked like he was going to be before the injuries happened.
He could be a two.
Before he went to Cleveland.
It doesn't even matter. He can be a two.
Doesn't even matter. Well, we'll find out at 4:00 and we'll discuss that with you and other things tomorrow, of course. So until then, we'll see you tomorrow. Bye, Bart.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.